Tonight's message is Stand Up and Speak Out from Daniel 3, verses 16 through 18. So if you'll turn there with me, Daniel 3, verses 16 through 18. I love to read the stories of men and women of God who have stood fearless and served God despite persecution. And I just want to share a couple of stories with you. One is, his name is Harvey Springer. And while preaching, he had a shotgun aimed at his chest by a man who hated him. And Springer approached the man, took the barrel of the gun, and put it right up against his chest. And he said, "Go ahead, pull the trigger, because God isn't through with me yet." And he had so much confidence that God would protect him, the man actually pulled the trigger and the gun misfired, and God preserved his life. Mordecai Ham was threatened relentlessly by his detractors, especially those in the liquor industry, because of his preaching against alcohol. And yet he continued to preach the truth of God's word in power, and his opponents threatened him, and they took attempts against his life, each of which failed. And he led more than 61,000 people to Christ in Texas and almost 56,000 in Tennessee, despite all of the threats and attempts against his life. These are just a couple of stories of brave believers who stood up and spoke out for Christ in the face of opposition. And that kind of boldness is characteristic of all of those who have a close personal relationship with the Lord. There's a story in Acts 4:13, you might remember it, how Peter and John were arrested after the healing of the lame man at the Gate Beautiful, and they led 5,000 people to Christ. And so the religious leaders were angered, and they arrested Peter and John, and they beat them, and they threatened them not to speak in the name of Jesus Christ again. But Peter spoke up with great boldness, and he said, "You tell us whether or not it's right to obey men or to obey God. But as for us, we cannot help but speak the things that we have seen and heard." And the scripture tells us that when the religious leaders saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they perceived or recognized that they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. And so when you live close to the Lord, boldness to stand up and speak out for Christ is one of the things that will characterize our life. Of course, we speak out in love and we speak out in respect for others, but we speak out boldly for the Lord. And we see that same boldness exhibited in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel, who stood up in defiance of the king's command to bow down and worship this huge 90-foot golden idol that he had set up in his own image and commanded everyone to bow down and worship. When they refused to bow down, the king was enraged, and he had them arrested and brought before him, and he gave them a final chance to change their mind and bow down under threat of being thrown into the fiery furnace, which was in effect a death sentence. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego continued to stand up and to speak out boldly. And their response is found in Daniel 3, verses 16 through 18. The scripture says, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up.'" And when we read this, their experience parallels in many ways what we see happening in America today. First was their indoctrination in the king's training program to embrace the beliefs, languages, and culture of Babylon. And there's an indoctrination in the United States today to accept certain beliefs and behaviors and lifestyles and to approve of them. And so first there was that indoctrination, and it's interesting that the king's decree was to bow in worship before the statue when the music played. And it's interesting because the indoctrination of our culture has been taking place in great part through music, through entertainment, and through media. And that's why we need to be very careful what we expose ourselves to, and we need to be very careful what our children are being exposed to. You need to monitor what they're watching and what they're listening to, because there is a messaging that is going forth, and the origin of that messaging is satanic and it's worldly. You know, the Bible says the world is currently under the dominion of Satan. So I'm not being, I'm not speaking in hyperbole. I'm not exaggerating. There is a message that is going forth, and it is coming straight from demonic influence to indoctrinate children. Even cartoons are messaging with an indoctrination to our children to embrace values and morals and beliefs that are in contradiction to the Word of God. So there is a constant bombardment to accept, embrace, and celebrate the politically correct positions that are being touted, which are in opposition to God's Word. But with the threat of the fiery furnace, indoctrination was followed by persecution. From cultural influence, we now see laws of the land being enacted that are coming up in conflict with the laws of God. And again, that's where we go to Peter and John when they said, should we obey men or God? And when man's laws are in direct contradiction to God's written law, we have a higher responsibility to obey God's law. And so we see that the laws of the land are being changed and enacted that are in conflict with God's laws and are now even punishable by criminal charges. And so what we see is that Christians employed in professions that are related to things like marriage, such as florists, bakeries, county clerk's offices that issue marriage licenses or officiate ceremonies, they now have to make a decision. Will they bow to the pressure of the ungodly mandates, or will they stand up and speak out for Christ at any cost, meaning that they most likely will probably lose their job, if not more. Christian schools and colleges are being threatened with the loss of federal or government programs for their students if they refuse to accept behaviors that the Bible calls immoral or sinful. Ministers, churches, and Christian organizations with the Equality Act that was passed recently are being forced to open their hiring to non-adherents for their any jobs that they have. So people that don't believe their faith, including those that practice lifestyles in direct opposition to God's law and our faith, we could be charged federally with discrimination if we do not hire somebody who makes an application and is qualified for the position. And already, sadly, we are seeing some who profess to be Christian being influenced by society's indoctrination. And so you have Christian leaders saying things like, love is love, it doesn't matter who you love. And these are prominent Christian teachers giving in to the pressure of society. A very popular Christian singer, if I were to mention her name, you would know her because she's constantly on the Christian radio stations. She was asked about her stance in regard to same-sex relationships on national TV, and her response was, I cannot honestly answer that. I have too many people I love that are homosexuals. She went on to explain that since she's not God, she can't say one way or another. Instead, people should just read the Bible and find it out for themselves. So she refused to stand up for what the truth says. Famed author Max Lucado, and this was very public, was asked to preach at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., and it resulted in a tremendous backlash over his views on biblical marriage and previous sermons that he had preached upholding marriage as between a man and a woman. And there was such backlash against it that he eventually made an apology for his past messages that upheld biblical marriage, and he took down the sermons that he had online on that subject. He actually removed them from online. So he apologized for having preached the truth of God's word in the past, is basically what he did. Both of these well-known Christian personalities were put on the spot to stand up and speak out for their faith, but they did not respond like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So I ask you, what would you do if you are put on the spot? How would you respond? God is calling Christians today to stand up and to speak out, declaring God's word in the face of an ungodly culture which calls evil good and good evil. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego show us what faithfulness under fire looks like. They teach us the importance of courageously standing up and speaking out for Christ regardless of the cost. And the first thing we see is the courage to stand up for God comes from the commitment to bow down only to Him. bow down only to him. We must not compromise, conform, or concede. These three faithful men of God watched for months as this huge 90-foot statue of Nebuchadnezzar was being built. They were government officials, and so they heard the plans the king had for passing a law requiring people to bow down and worship before this idol. They knew that a confrontation was brewing between the laws of men and the laws of God, and they knew that the consequences would be severe for those who refused to bow down. So what would they do? It was not even a question in their mind. They already knew what they would do despite the cost, because they knew that the word of God said, "You shall not have any other gods beside me. You shall not make any graven image." They knew that they were not to worship any other god besides the one true God. And we are going to be challenged to bow down to the gods of this world. We have been watching the idol of political correctness and sexual degeneracy being built before our eyes for years. We've been watching as laws were enacted one after the other to oppose the laws of God. And it requires courage not to compromise, not to conform, and not to concede. And that courage comes from making up our mind before the pressure is personally placed on us. We need to make up our mind that we will bow down only to God, and we will obey his laws above man's laws at all cost. If you wait until the moment of decision, it's too late. Because when the pressure is on, it's going to be very hard for you to make that decision. You need to settle that in your heart long before the pressure is on. We need to courageously stand up for our faith. So in Daniel 6, the time had finally come, and the king summoned all of the officials and advisors. That included Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in verses 4 through 6, it says, "Then a herald shouted, 'People of all races, nations, and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will be immediately thrown into a blazing furnace.'" The time had come. Bible scholars D.J. Burrell and Matthew Henry both suggest that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have chosen to stay home that day. Henry cites the fact that Daniel is not mentioned, perhaps due to being away on some kind of business or political trip, since he was an official in the land, and he might have received permission from the king to not attend due to the fact that he had great favor with the king. But any reason, Daniel, if he had been present, he also would have refused to bow down. So the fact that he's not mentioned seems to suggest that he was not there. So why did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego show up if they knew that the purpose of the gathering was to bow down to the king's statue? After all, in a crowd that large, tens of thousands of people, who would miss them? Maybe they showed up because they wanted to obey the king's order as far as they could while being prepared to publicly testify against this blatant idolatry. Or maybe they showed up because their convictions were so strong that they could not just stay home and hide and ignore what was happening. They were compelled by God to go to the plain of Dura and stand up for their faith. One writer said they attended for the sole purpose of glorifying God. They went there with a purpose. You know, we all have similar choices, and those choices are going to confront us more and more in the coming days. And we can choose to bow down and go along with the politically correct stance of inclusion and embrace the ungodly values that are being promoted. But we must resist the herd mentality. There are so many people in our, it amazes me, that have herd mentality. They can't think for themselves. If it's a popular opinion, they just go along with it. That's herd mentality. You know, everybody is thinking that way, so we just go along with it. We have to resist herd mentality. God has given us a sound mind to be able to think for ourselves, and we need to have a mind that is trained according to the word of God, a mind that has been renewed by the word of God. So we need to resist that herd mentality, and we need to have a renewed mind trained by the word of God so that we can think God godly thoughts. And we can bow as a formality and say, you know, faith is a heart matter and God knows what's in our heart. But if you bow down outwardly, then your heart is not devoted to Christ. Come on now, folks. If you bow down outwardly, your heart is not devoted to Christ. One writer said it well, we must refuse to go along just to get along. We can't just go along because we just want to get along with everybody. Or we can choose to hide in fear and ignore what is happening while God is calling us to show up and to stand up for truth and for our faith. In Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego showed up. And when all the people bowed down, they stood up in defiance to the king's command. Their decision had been made long before they ever showed up that day. They were determined that they would be loyal to their convictions and commitment to God and His word. And as followers of Christ, this is the only choice that we can make. The only choice that we can make. We must be determined to stand up for what is true, to stand up for what is right before God, and to speak up for it. We must courageously speak out for our faith. Nebuchadnezzar was enraged, and he had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego arrested and brought before the king, and they were given a final chance to change their mind and bow down and worship to the golden image. And the warning was, if you refuse, what God can rescue you from my hand? The king's arrogant declaration was a defiance against the God of Israel, the God that they served. And right now, the blatant assault against religious freedom in our nation, and particularly an assault against the church, is an open defiance against God. It is like our nation slapping God in the face. And I tell you, is it any wonder that our nation is going through what our nation is going through? Because you cannot defy God and not have consequences. You cannot defy God and not have consequences. You reap what you sow. God will not be mocked. That's what Paul tells us in Galatians 6. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could not stay silent. They had stood with courage, and now they spoke up with courage. In verses 17 through 18, it says, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you. See, there ought to be no question where our allegiance is. There ought to be no question where we stand. It says, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we'll never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. Now, I want you to notice they spoke with great respect. In fact, twice they said, your majesty. So they spoke with great respect. So we need to speak up for our faith, but we need to do it with respect. We should not do it in a way that is purposely arrogant or purposely offensive to other people. We need to speak in love. We need to speak in grace, but we need to speak up for the truth. And in verse 18, he says, let it be known. This is what we've been called to do. We are to let it be known. We are to speak up for our faith and our convictions. And their concern was not for what might happen to them. Their concern was that God might be glorified in and through them in Babylon. Similarly, Paul in prison for preaching the gospel, he was facing execution, defying the Roman law that made Christianity an illegal religion at that time. And he says in Philippians 1, 20 and 21, for I live in eager expectation and hope that I will never do anything that will cause me to be ashamed of myself, but that I will always be ready to speak out boldly for Christ while I'm going through all these trials here, just as I have in the past, and that I'll always be an honor to Christ, whether I live or whether I must die. Paul is saying, you know what? I'm going to speak boldly for Christ, whatever the cost is. There is no way that a law of man is going to silence me from doing what God has called me to do. Church, we cannot keep silent. We must speak out boldly for Christ. He has called us to be His messengers to this world. And in today's cancel culture, that says if you don't toe the line in compliance with the politically correct position, you will be banned from TV, you'll be banned from social media, you'll lose your job, your business will be boycotted, you'll be fired. That's what's happening right now if you speak up for your Christian faith, if you speak up for the truth of God's word, these are all the things that are happening right now. But we must not be intimidated into silence. We are called to proclaim the truth of the gospel to the world. If we're silent, darkness will prevail. If we are silent, Satan will continue to advance his kingdom. Countless souls will be lost for eternity, and we will be held accountable before God. Standing in faith under fire may lead us into the fire. That's the second principle we see here. Standing in faith under fire may lead us into fire. You may find yourself in a mess. It may happen. The faith that enables us to stand under fire enables us to stand in the fire. Regardless of the cost, God's servants will remain steadfast in their commitment to Him. If we're a true servant of God, no matter what the cost, we are going to remain steadfast in our commitment to Him. You know, today's theology of health, wealth, comfort, and happiness is not what Jesus taught. A lot of people teach today that God exists to make us comfortable, to make us happy, to make us rich, to make us wealthy, to give us a trouble-free life. But that's not what Jesus taught. When he said, anyone who would follow me must do what? Take up his cross. The cross represented an instrument of persecution, an instrument of suffering for the sake of God's purpose and glory. And that kind of message, let me ask you, when was the last time outside of New Life that you heard that kind of message preached? You need to take up your cross. You need to suffer for Christ. It's not a popular message, so it's not a message that is being preached today. Because in the end times, what would the Bible say? That preachers would preach to itching ears. That they're going to preach what people want to hear. They're going to preach what is popular with people. But I have news for you. What people want to hear is not always what people need to hear. You know, there need to be encouraging messages and messages about God's blessing, but there also need to be messages about the truth of God's word and sin and immorality and being faithful to God and living in purity and living a life of devotion and commitment to God. We need to preach the whole gospel, not just the feel-good parts of the gospel. And so we don't hear this message much today, that following Jesus is about taking up your cross and coming after him. And because this is not being preached, God's people are not being prepared for the intensifying persecution that Jesus himself said was going to come in the last days, and a persecution that we already see beginning. Speaking of the end times, in Mark 13:9, Jesus says, when these things begin to happen, he's talking about signs of the end times, when these things begin to happen, watch out. You will be handed over to local councils and beaten in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. This is Jesus speaking about what's going to happen in the end times. He's telling us that there's going to be persecution. He's telling us that if you truly live for him, you may find yourself arrested. You may find yourself being brought before officials to answer for your behavior and to be sentenced for it. But you need to look at it as an opportunity to tell them about Jesus, to testify about Jesus, not to defend yourself, not to try to get out of it, but to talk about Jesus. He goes on to say that some will even be killed. In the intensifying persecution, and it's happening in other places of the world, by the way. It has not yet reached the United States, but there are Christians that are being martyred all over the world. They're being martyred all over the world. And so he states, everyone will hate you because you are my followers, but the one who endures to the end, the one who endures to the end will be saved. Folks, we're going to need endurance to go through the persecution that is coming upon the world and upon our nation. But it is when we endure to the end, when we don't give in, when we don't bow our knee to this world and bow our knee to the idols of this world, but we endure to the end, we will be saved. And this is the reality, and we're already seeing it take place. It's coming, and we need to have the kind of faith that will enable us to stand under fire and enable us to stand in the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we don't have to think about it twice. Our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't, let it be known to you, O king, that we will never bow our knee to your idols. What they were saying is there's only one God, and he's the only one that we'll worship. And the king was enraged, and what did he do? He heated the furnace 7 times. Now, it was already deadly, but he heated it 7 times its normal heat, so that even the guards that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, they were struck dead by the heat just at the door of the furnace. But the faith that enabled them to stand under pressure enabled them to stand in the fire. They trusted in God's power and protection, and they surrendered themselves to God's providence. They're saying, God is able to deliver us. We believe that he will, but we trust his providence. Even if he doesn't, our life is in his hands. We belong to him. We need a faith that enables us to stand under fire, to stand under pressure, and a faith that enables us to stand in the fire, to endure persecution for the sake of God's glory. When we stand in the fire in faith, God is faithful to stand with us. When Nebuchadnezzar looked in the furnace, he said, didn't we throw 3 men in the fire? How is it that I see a 4th man unbound, walking around in the fire, unharmed, and the 4th looks like a god? God was with them in the fire. God protected them, and they came out without even the smell of smoke. And Nebuchadnezzar saw a witness, a testimony of God's greatness. And the scripture says Nebuchadnezzar praised God and made a decree that no one was to speak against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego under penalty of death. I love that, because one of the Psalms says that, you know, God will turn the traps of the enemy back upon themselves. And here the sentence that was once meted against Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego is now being turned against those that would defy the one true God of Israel. Nebuchadnezzar said, there is no other God who can rescue like this. Wow. He saw the glory of God. He saw that God was greater than all the idols that he worshiped. Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood up and spoke out, their culture was transformed. Even if it was for a short period of time, they had an impact on the entire Babylonian Empire from the king on down. And that's what God is calling us to do. We are to be the light of the world. We're to be the salt of the earth. We're to be an influence for the kingdom of God, to hold back the rot and corruption of sin, to hold back the darkness that pervades society. We are the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and we should be making a difference in our culture wherever God has placed us. We are there to make a difference. We're not there just to go along to get along. We're there to make a difference, to be an influence for the kingdom of God. And when we stand for God, God will stand with us. I read the story of a young woman in Pakistan, and in Muslim nations, Christians are greatly persecuted. And so she was arrested for her faith in Christ on trumped up charges. And her accuser said that she had made a blasphemous statement against the prophet of Islam, Muhammad, which she had not done, but they accused her of that to have grounds to have her arrested. Crowds of Muslims were enraged, threatening to kill her, and she ended up spending 8 years in prison. But after her release, in an interview, she stated, during my detention, I held the hand of Christ. It is thanks to him that I have stayed standing. Do not be afraid. That's her words. I held the hand of Christ. That's why I'm still here. Do not be afraid. God is saying to us, church, do not be afraid. Hold fast to him in faith and stand up and speak out for the kingdom of God, for the truth of his word, and what is right before God. That is what we are called to do. We cannot hide. We cannot back down. We cannot concede. We cannot conform. We cannot go along just to get along. We need to hold fast to God, hold fast to his word, and we need to stand up and we need to speak out. That is what God is calling us to do. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you right now, Lord God. And we are challenged and convicted by the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We want to have that kind of unwavering faith and commitment to you, Lord God, so that no matter the pressure and no matter the cost, we will refuse to bow our knee to the demands of a godless culture. Father, we pray that you would raise your church up in these last days in the power of your Holy Spirit to be a mighty army, Lord God, that will advance your truth and your kingdom purpose in this world. Father, we pray, Lord God, against fear. We pray against intimidation. We pray against insecurity. We pray, Lord God, for a spirit of boldness in the hearts of your people, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Enable us, Lord, to stand firm, to speak out, and to endure for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. I hope this message was a blessing to you. God bless you. Thank you all for joining us tonight. Have a wonderful rest of your Wednesday evening. God bless.